From between the hedges at Sanford Stadium to the practice fields, from Stegman Coliseum and wherever else the Bulldogs are playing, it's time to talk Georgia sports.
Touchdown, don't win it!
From the Athens Banner Herald, here are your hosts, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
Welcome into the Bulldogs Extra Podcast. Mark Weiser with Ryan Dennis of the Athens Banner Herald. And Ryan, what are we, 10 days out? Something like that?
Yeah. So it's Tuesday, next Friday. Man.
Orange Bowl, Georgia, Michigan.
Getting here fast.
Ryan, I am ready for some Miami. And, you know, as we are recording this on Tuesday afternoon, late-ish, yeah. It's raining, it's dreary. It's not kind of a Chamber of Commerce day for Athens. I didn't look at the forecast. I don't know what it is in Miami now, but you know, probably be 70s and 80s when we're down there. Ryan, are you ready to party in the city where the heat is on all night on the beach till the break of dawn?
Is that is that Pitbull or something?
It's Will Smith. Come on, Will Smith.
Gotcha. Yes, because as I look at my computer right now, it's 41 here, light rain. And, yeah, last check, I think next week, Thursday of next week, it's supposed to be about 83 down in Fort Lauderdale, which, you know, I can't wait to be on the beach with a Coca-Cola in my hand and, I mean, and doing work, of course, while we're down there.
Do we? Is there a beach at the media hotel?
I don't know where. I know it's right next to the airport, so hopefully it's not a busy airport because I got to get my sleep.
All right, Georgia will arrive Sunday to Miami. It's a day earlier, on Christmas evening. Michigan's getting to town. I think they're flying into Fort Lauderdale. Ryan, you know, as the buildup for this game has happened locally, mm-hmm. You know, there was signing day last week, which we'll talk about because we hadn't podcast since, was it Monday last week, I guess? So mm-hmm. There's a lot. Georgia got another top three signing class, so we'll talk about that. But, you know, a couple things I'll say about the quarterbacks. I wrote a story about it today. Now, I hadn't really written on the subject since, I think, the day after the SEC championship game. Mm-hmm. I think there's two camps besides the Stetson Bennett and JT Daniels camp. I think mm-hmm. There's also the camp of people that are interested in still reading about it, as you know, the metrics on the story show there was a lot of traffic. Mm-hmm. People are interested. The other camp is where they're sick of the subject, and they will let you know.
And they just want JT Daniels and, in there. No further discussion.
You'll get ratioed on Twitter because it's beating a dead horse. Now, if I haven't written about it myself really much, you know, whether the reader has read five stories about it, that's fine. I try to bring a little different perspective to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm going to write about it if it's... I wrote about it the day after we had a chance to talk to Kirby Smart about it again.
Who was very vague in his answer.
Yeah, he was vague, which, you know, that's mm-hmm. his prerogative. You know, not surprised about that. But, yeah, he didn't say anything of substance that really told you anything that you didn't know beforehand.
Well, right. I mean, what did he say? That all four guys have been practicing hard and, you know, that he wouldn't say who's working with the first team or not. But I was kind of wondering your perspective on that. I mean, is... does he not want to give away that they have put JT in at the number one with the number one team, or is he just because I mean I don't think you're really fooling the other team if Stetson's your guy still and you're just saying you know we're not saying who's working at number one because you would think that they would be preparing for whoever is in that spot no matter.
Well, he didn't even want to say that you know Stetson's working with the ones, JT's getting some work with the ones also. Yeah, he didn't want to go there, which, you know, this is kind of some pretty important football coming up here for the Bulldogs. So I get that. And, you know, we should have a chance, I don't know which day it is, I guess it may be Monday, Tuesday next week, to kind of put our eyes on the Bulldogs as they practice down in South Florida for 15 minutes. Now, we probably won't see much. I imagine it might be like stretching or something like that.
We'll see that thing where each one of them takes two snaps from a different center and yeah. They rotate it,
well,
you know.
I don't know. We'll see. It'll still be good to watch the team practice. I mean, I still remember back in Southern California before the Rose Bowl, you know, going to their practice site, which, you know, I think we had to take a media shuttle maybe a half hour to get there. But, you know, just to see the environment and see the the tropical trees. Even in California, they had like obviously a different look than what you would see here. So, you know, it'll be good.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Ryan, wanted to give you a little update about what you're going to see when you get down there. Did you know that Georgia is practicing at Berry University?
Not Berry College, as in Rome, Georgia, Berry College.
No,
right?
this is
University. I did not know that. So.
Yeah. Now, do they get, I don't know anything about that facility, but Michigan is practicing an Inter-Miami CF practice facility, which, is that the MLS team, I think?
Yeah, that new team, right?
Right. Now, isn't Beckham, doesn't he own that team or something? Or has
Man, you're asking me the tough questions. That sounds right, but I can't tell you off the top of my head.
I guess my point is that Michigan could see David Beckham, like, you know, around the facility, maybe, but, you know, I don't know who's going to be around Berry University.
Well, I don't know if anybody cares, you know, if any of the football players care if they see Beckham or not. But, No.
I think Jack Podlesny would care.
You think he's a soccer guy?
All these soccer guys.
Camarda was a good soccer
Camarda
player.
Camarda, too,
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I think Podlesny's dad is a soccer coach or was.
Okay. Well, so two or three people.
In the, was it Hilton Head area, maybe? I can't remember.
I wonder why those schools, though. I mean, you know, what about, is the University of Miami, like, they say no to that? Do the teams not want one of the teams practicing there and the other at Berry University?
And we can check with Mark Rick, but Miami's not really known for great facilities. I mean, it's in Coral Gables, which might be even more south.
Can we do a quick call to Mark, get him on here and talk to him about bad Miami facilities? Maybe he can compare and contrast his time at Georgia facilities versus Miami.
Todd Hartley, who spent a few years down there with Mark Rick, he probably knows his way around that part of the state and can you know, kind of figure it out. Now, you know, Georgia's kind of what they've said this week, and Kirby Smart, is that, you know, obviously you always hear about, you know, it being a business trip, not a trip to really enjoy, you know, a bowl experience as much, because, you know, there's only two games that really matter in bowl season in terms of, you know, with something, championship to play for. But Georgia is going to have some lined up events going on. They will be on Monday, I think it is, there will be a beach party for the team at the Fountain Blue North Lawn. So if you're a Georgia fan getting down there early and you want to, you know, check out Jordan Davis kind of on the beach to see if he
to see
if he's gonna, you know, like, be lifting up like five lifeguards or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Are they playing Family Feud? That always seems to be like a favorite of bowl season. You know, the two teams pit against each other, Family Feud, or
I don't know that, but
I don't know, categories.
So on one night, Michigan is going to the Fogo de Chão in Miami Beach. I think Georgia will be there the next day.
Speaking of Jordan Davis, imagine Jordan Davis at a Fogo de Chão. That card is turned green, go nonstop.
Now, I think I've been to Fogo de Chão once ever. There's one in Atlanta, maybe in Buckhead. Have you been to that one?
I've never been to a Fogo de Chão.
Well, how did you know about the card then?
My mom's been to a few. She was in a swanky company that would have business parties at Fogo de Chão.
All right. Well, yeah, you might want to just basically have one meal that day or maybe one meal that week.
So they bring them out in big skewers, or not skewers, but like, what do you call those things that meat stands on? And they just kind of shave it off for you?
Yeah, a little bit of that, I can't really remember that much, but yeah, it's not great. You probably want to see your cardiologist right after that.
What are you doing for dinner tonight? You care to,
not going to Fogo de Chão.
Well, that's out of our price range around the holidays.
Anyway, I think that's about it though, that, in terms of, you know, a beach party, a gorging party. So we had a chance today to talk to, Trevon Walker and Nolan Smith. A couple items of interest from what they had to say, I thought was interesting. I mean, yeah, I'm sure you noticed during the game. I certainly did. There were some guys that were kind of huffing and puffing when Alabama was, you know, marching downfield when they were making big plays and maybe doing some up-tempo. Bryce Young is, you know, chasing that guy around, and Georgia did get some pressures, but didn't sack him. Trevon Walker, here's a quote. I can say that some of the time that some of the guys probably did get a little winded, and that did play a small part in the loss. So I think, you know, they are focused on conditioning a little bit, especially they're going to be going down to Miami in the heat in Miami. It's a 7:30 game, though, so
I mean, this is a Georgia team that's practiced in 100 degree weather for at least for the first couple months. They were out there, and I don't know that was that big of an issue for them, but or if hot weather would be an issue. So I feel like they'll be all right. But I mean, you know, I think the big thing was they just couldn't get to Bryce Young, and that's what kind of hurt them there in the long run. He wasn't being out of condition, did he?
Nolan Smith, he said, what we did before, congratulations, and what we did before, it is not that bad. We can always learn from our mistakes, but it is new life. It is one game, and you have to win to advance.
He's full of good quotes. He gave me a good quote after the SEC championship loss. You know, like, what did he say? If you don't have that ring on your finger, then what are you doing here? You know, what are you playing for? If it didn't hurt, if you didn't feel it deep in your gut or something like that. Good for Nolan.
I think Nolan is a guy that probably will come back next year based on I was surprised that I caught up the numbers earlier today. I was just looking at some stats. I think he only had 1.5 sacks, and he certainly was very impactful in certain games. But, you know, I think as an edge rusher, former number one recruit, you know, might serve him well to come back.
Well, how about Trayvon Walker's quote about his million-dollar body or whatever?
I think he said $2
million. No, $2 million. He's a guy that can come out, right?
He is. He's rated high. He shows up on some of those lists for top, you know, defensive linemen. So,
hey, when will be the day that somebody opts out of a playoff game? Will it ever happen? You know, you see all this about players opting out of other bowl games that don't really matter. You know, I guess you can debate that all you want to. For instance, the Peach Bowl. What you got? Michigan State's running back opting out. You have. Kenny Pickett opted out of the game as well from Pittsburgh. So, I mean, will it ever get to a point where guys are just like, look, I'm got to think about myself here and opt out of a playoff game?
You know, I was listening to something when I was driving in where they mentioned Joey Bosa opting out at Ohio State in 2018. Now, was that
a playoff game? It was just the Fiesta Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. And it wasn't a playoff. It was just a, it was just a bowl. I mean, a big Super Six bowl game.
Now, I didn't follow this. You know, I wasn't in the weeds on this, but I just saw it kind of on my Twitter timeline that Cade Mays made some kind of NIL thing where he was saying something about, well, I might come back to Tennessee if I can get $500,000 in NIL money. And then the next thing I saw is that he was being announced to play in one of the All-Star games. So. Maybe he decided already that he's not coming back and they didn't get that money. I don't know. But, you know, what if I'm trying to think who on Georgia is so impactful? George Pickens, N'Kobe Dean. Mm-hmm. What if one of them said, hey, I'm not sure if I want to play in this bowl game. But I mean.
It's always been the general understanding that if your team is playing for a championship, you would play for them, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, guys in other bowl games that aren't for national championships, even if they are the Fiesta Bowls of the world or the Chick-fil-A Bowls or even the Rose Bowl.
Ryan, I think it's a good thing that our listeners know that I understand on good authority that there's not a single Georgia football player that listens to this podcast.
Yeah.
So your idea is that they should opt out of the Orange Bowl.
Why did I say that? I would never say that. I'm saying it, you know, it's good that, I mean, I don't think that anybody should opt out if you're playing for a national championship.
I think all those things will arise.
And, I was just curious when that day will come that somebody will.
Maybe instead of getting, I don't even know what the number is this year, it used to be like $500 that the bowl can give them in bowl gifts and the school could give them $500. How about you make that $5,000 or, you know, just throw them a little bit more, you know, a little meat on the bone or something.
Yeah, especially, was it Capital One that sponsors Orange Bowl still? Is that right?
I don't even know. I think you're
right. I think so. Yeah. So I don't think they're hurting for money if they wanted to pay every player $5,000.
Are you saying you're delinquent on your latest bill and that's why that...
Yeah, they have been knocking on my door. Probably need to get out of town, to be honest with you.
The money's going in their coffers. All right, let's do a quick review. We got a lot of things to talk about still. Let's do a quick review of Georgia's signing day from last week, just in terms of what your takeaways were. Ryan, let me just start with you. I wrote about it, and it's kind of, you know, an obvious thing is that, I don't know if you know this, but Georgia does not have a hard time attracting top defensive recruits. I think like 7 of their top guys in this class were all defensive, and I think 4 are cornerbacks or maybe just DBs. You know, Kirby wants more DBs. You could give him 4 top 50 DBs in terms of top 50 overall national prospects, and he'd say, I want 5, I want 6. You know,
sounds like what they used to say with linemen when Sam Pittman was here, and he still continues with Matt Luke, but you know, they'd sign a class of five-star linemen.
I think he's a little battle scarred from losing, you know, not just guys of the NFL, but losing a couple Cade transfers.
Mays? No,
I'm talking about DBs. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, that was seemed to be their issue coming into this season, right? Was who they lost, and you thought bringing in Tyke Smith would kind of solve that problem, and you know, and they did get the guy Kendrick from Clemson that helped out a lot. But if you want a takeaway from me from signing day, was some of the guys they missed out on, right? Some of the guys that committed later in the day, you thought Georgia really had a chance on, and they went
about?
To Florida. Well, it was the defensive back that chose Florida. You know, it seemed like he'd be down to Georgia and maybe even leaning heavily towards Georgia. And then, you know, not that Georgia ever had a shot at Travis Hunter, but the fact that he put that hat on for a split second, you were like, oh, maybe Kirby did flip him over here. And then, of course, he goes,
Dion. Now, what was it? Where did you watch that? Was that on Instagram or something?
Well, you know how everything makes its way to Twitter. That's where I saw it eventually. But.
Hey, you're not happy that Georgia got Marvin Jones Jr. out of American Heritage, which I think Sonny Michel's school?
Yeah, I mean, that's good, yeah.
Blair Walsh's school?
Oh, yeah, Blair Walsh. Now, hey, I know I should know this, but is that the Marvin Jones wide receiver currently in the NFL's son?
It's a Florida, former Florida State lineman, I believe.
I say, because that seems like he'd be too young to be having college kids, but hey, you never know.
You got any thoughts on three-star prospect Drew Bobo?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think he'd always had wanted to come to Georgia, right? I mean, his dad's a legacy guy, and but the fact that he was at Auburn at the time, you know, he was committed to Auburn, and as soon as he got the axe over there, here comes Georgia calling.
All right, Gunnar Stockton signs out of Rabun County.
Right.
Hey, so I'm driving to the Tennessee game, and drove past Rabun County High School, which is right on the highway there. You didn't go to Tennessee, did you?
Not this year.
Yeah, yeah. So I think they had a game that night, which maybe some of our friends at Dog Post stopped by and covered that game. But you know what I noticed as I drove through that area? It's a nice sign on the road there for Charlie Warner, also from that area.
I saw
area.
That, too.
So the sign?
I went up to Black Rock Mountain up there.
It says, home of Charlie Warner, Georgia Bulldog, and NFL... I don't know if they use the word star, but, you know.
Tight end, maybe, right?
I don't know, but, I mean, that's kind of cool. You see that sometimes if you're driving around. You'll see, you know, somebody that was at Georgia, that, you know, their hometowns really still are very proud of them being a part of this program.
There might be something in Elberton or Bowman. There is something in Bowman, Georgia, for
Mecole
Hardman.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they love him up in the granite capital of the world. But Charlie had an uncle, right, that was in state rep or something like that?
Scott Warner played at Georgia.
No. But he had, yes, I know that. But he had an uncle, I think, recently that had run, maybe it was Scott, I don't know, had a, you know, that had run for something up there, and his name was plastered all over.
Will Jefferson, in about 4 or 5 years, will they have a big sign for Georgia's star, Malachi Starks, who has a chance to make an impact in these next 3 years at Georgia?
Yeah, I guess it's up to Malachi to determine that.
Have you seen him play?
In person, yeah.
Give me the rundown.
Well, the thing is, you know what? I think I only saw Malachi a couple times, and injuries always kind of seem to hamper him a little bit. And, you know, I saw them against North Oconee when North Oconee upset Jefferson.
Yeah, I know he was supposed to play Cedar Shoals, and he sat out that game.
Yeah, and he was a little banged up, and I think that's why their offense couldn't really get going. But he had an interception in that game, and, you know, I think he's going to be a safety for Georgia, or maybe even move down in the box a little bit with his size, but... He's freakish athletic. So, yeah, obviously a good get. And maybe the top-rated prospect for Georgia in this class, I think, is what 247 and other outlets have.
All right, so there's 23 signees in this class, and I think there's three commitments that remain on Georgia's board. But, you know, for one reason or another, they didn't sign. Now, you always wonder, you know, do they eventually go off that commitment list and get replaced by someone else? Or, you know, what's driving that? We'll see. So Georgia did sign one running back. In this class, that's Branson Robinson from Canton, Mississippi. But yeah, there's another running back that remains out there who I was told was on a vacation out of the country on signing day. So, you know, I'm not sure if that's the reason or if he went on vacation because, you know, Georgia wasn't ready to take his signature. I don't know.
Huh, interesting. How about the first commitment or first signee that came in the other day? all the way from way across the pond in Australia. That's pretty neat. Well, did it come in at 7 at night in or 8 at night maybe here?
No, it was like yeah. It was like 4 in the afternoon. Brett Thorson from Dumbock North in Australia, and he's actually going to be joining the program, in the next week or two.
As is Gunnar Stockton.
Yeah, Gunnar already might be on campus as they finish out bowl practices. So, it's always a weird deal now with this signing day and then bowl practices converging, and then you have guys. You know, Dan Landing had just left, and he's working on his signing class. And I think he was doing a Thursday. It looked like he did like a signing day Zoom for Oregon, where he was probably in the Butzmere building in an office there. He just had an Oregon shirt on.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is definitely a weird deal.
Don't you think I think they need to implement something where, look, hey, let's not announce this stuff until a day or two after the seasons are over. I mean, I know teams kind of got to get moving and stuff like that, but. Just, for teams, and they're always picking coaches from teams that are making the playoffs and stuff like that. Makes for odd.
Don't you think Dan Landing wanted that out there so he could, recruit the guys for his class?
I mean, I get that. I get that part of it. I get that part of it. It just makes for funky things, and it just seems weird for the kids, who have to answer these questions about, your position coach leaving or your defense coordinator leaving and all that stuff while they're trying to prepare for a college football semifinal type of game.
All right, locally, LSU had a quarterback transfer, Max Johnson, played at Oconee County. He's going from LSU to Texas A&M. His brother, a tight end, Jake Johnson, also going to Texas A&M. A lot of other quarterbacks are in the transfer portal. Shane Beamer in South Carolina got Oklahoma's quarterback.
Nobody from Georgia in there yet, correct?
Bo Nixon in Oregon. Bo Nixon going from Auburn to Oregon to play for Dan Landing. Yeah, here's what I was going to say. I guess I lost my thing. So you got the Raven County kid.
Mm-hmm.
You got Brock Vandegrift.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fair to say those are the only two quarterbacks that you feel 100% sure are going to be on Georgia's football team next season.
Do you?
Well, who do you think's not going to be?
No, I think I feel strongly at that, but a lot will be determined on Stetson's decision, JT's decisions, and all that.
So you're saying if Stetson and or JT come back, that someone else might leave?
I think
like Carson, I didn't mention. Now Carson, I understand is happy at Georgia, but he also wants to play football. So, if it looks like he's not going to have a chance to get on the field, that could change. But look. If JT Daniels chose to say transfer, if Stetson Bennett said, I'm going to give it a shot and go try to get in a camp and win a roster spot, I think Stetson Bennett, I don't have his birthday in front of me, but he might be 23, 24, by now.
Mm-hmm.
He might just be ready to move on. But you know what? Stetson Bennett, he goes out and wins a national championship game. I mean, don't you think he's going to, basically ride off into the sunset from Georgia? I mean,
that would be the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
But I mean, is he going for a master's? What is he doing educationally?
I mean,
could determine his decision as well.
I assume he has a degree already. I don't know.
It's a big conundrum, this Georgia quarterback situation. But I mean, what does Brock Vandegrift do when he evaluates after the season?
Here's what I'm saying. Carson Beck, he might think, look, I've already practiced with Brock Vandegrift, and I'm ahead of him on the depth chart now. And the other guy coming in is a true freshman. So hey, maybe this is my window to start.
Well, yeah.
Of course he could have that thought process, and Georgia could go back into the transfer portal and grab someone else.
Let's also remember that Carson Beck was number two in the spring and seemed number two going into UAB.
Right.
So he might just say, I never know where I stand on this depth chart, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, does Georgia look at Keaton Slovis, another Southern Cal transfer?
No.
Why are we talking so much about this? Let's focus on the games at hand.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got Michigan. I don't know. This also could be the last early signing period in December. There seems to be a movement to push it to January so you don't have that kind of traffic.
How about this? The first Wednesday in February. Has anybody ever thought of that?
That didn't work out well.
Just leave it there.
Jake Fromm, did you see him against the Giants' two-minute offense?
I didn't. I mean, I saw Twitter again. It's the place to go for quick news. And he was 4-for-4 at one point. Does that sound right? Mm-hmm. After filling in for NC State's Mike Glennon?
He moved from, like, the 10-yard line to, like, the inside the red zone, and then they kind of stalled. So
Well, that's better than what Glennon did. I did see him throw a couple of hideous balls.
All right, let's talk about a couple. We mentioned Dan Lanning, a couple other staff issues with Georgia, issues from the fact that they're not at Georgia anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Katie Turner, one of the, I guess she was, I don't have her title in front of me, but she was maybe director of recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have someone else with a title like that, similarly. You know, she was part of a, I mean, you got to credit all these recruiting staffers for helping to bring in these top three type classes. And now she goes to Florida with Billy Napier, who she worked with at Louisiana. So, you know, kind of a, I don't know if you want to call it a lateral move, or maybe it was a promotion if she's getting more money. Also, Josh Lee, the director of football operations, has resigned, Georgia says, and they said he's pursuing another opportunity. There was a report that he is being investigated by the Equal Opportunity Office at Georgia. So we'll see how that shakes out. You know, if more information, the university will probably be releasing information on that investigation once it is complete.
Yeah, he's the guy that's in the background with maybe the biggest impact that's not a coach. What do you think?
I mean, I'd have to look at the kind of at the flow.
I mean, aside from like athletic director, I mean, he made stuff happen. Scheduling, other issues in the background. I mean, I think that's pretty big for Georgia, to be honest.
Yeah, and, you know, you kind of think of him as maybe one of Kirby Smart's right-hand guys.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually came here before Mark Richt's final season. You know, he already was, you know, here and then had served as a GA.
You know, I didn't realize until reading your article in the Athens Banner-Herald that he was a receiver. He worked with receivers a lot as a GA back in the day. I did not realize that.
I don't think I realized it until I saw saw his bio. I mean, you don't really pay attention to that kind of thing. But,
interesting.
All right, Ryan, I guess we'll maybe take a little break. How are we doing on time here?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's keep it rolling after this break, and we'll be fine.
Ryan, I know you're watching pretty much every bowl game that's on TV, so I want to say this. I did not watch the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl, but I did see that they were the team that won, which I believe was Utah State,
mm-hmm.
was awarded a championship belt. And I like that. I like the belt. I say do an Orange Bowl belt instead of a trophy.
Oh, so it was the Orange Bowl. It wasn't like interception. You know, you get a belt or you get the...
No. That was what you won for winning the game.
I like that.
I believe.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel seems like the interesting type of guy that was like, no, we're going something different.
I'm not sure if he is the one that was the inspiration for that or the game organizer, whoever that was.
Hey, I did think of you there in that game because you know who Utah State's head coach is now.
Yeah.
Blake Anderson.
Right.
You did that big story on his wife and him back when Arkansas State came.
Ryan, the Mayo Bowl, which the
Mayo Bowl?
Duke's
Mayo?
You know, you remember we saw the Duke's Mayo game, the kickoff game with Georgia Clemson?
Yeah, and the guy slathering it all over his body.
Right,
yeah.
So Shane Beamer and Mac Brown have agreed to let, I guess, a vat of Duke's Mayo go on their head.
Oh, God.
If they win the game. And I saw an interview, which I liked, with Mac Brown, where he was asked, you know, basically told that, you know, Shane Beamer has agreed to do this. Are you going to do it? And he said, basically, heck yeah. He said, you know, if someone wants to hit me with a 2x4 on the head, if it means I can win a football game, I'll do it. So he's up for anything. That's how much these football coaches love winning or hate losing.
Yeah, I might throw up in my mouth a little bit if Duke's Mayo got dumped on me.
What condiment would you like to get dumped on your head?
Oh gosh,
I'm gonna go blue cheese. I want blue cheese dressing.
Is that a condiment though? I mean,
no, it's not really.
That's the
it's
debate,
kind of like
right?
A dipping sauce or whatever.
Yeah. Who do we have? We had a guest on and we talked condiments with. Do you remember that? Oh, maybe
no.
Cole Kubelik. I don't remember.
Maybe.
Anyway,
No. That was Tom Crean.
Yeah, we talked. Little Caesars.
He's big on the fast food. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's no condiment that I would like on my head, but I mean, if it came down to sriracha, maybe. I mean, I'd just close my eyes. Wouldn't want that in my eyes or up my nose, but you know, I could bathe in some sriracha. I love that stuff.
One more kind of food thing, I guess. Bear Alexander, defensive lineman that signed with Georgia, he did a signing day thing, which I think other commitments signees from around the country did with a chip company. I think it was called Taki Chips or something.
So he's already NILing?
I mean, I guess he got some money with them. I don't know.
Interesting.
Are you familiar with that?
Yeah,
chip?
Is it Takis? T-A-K-I-S?
Yeah. Do you know about that?
I don't know if I ever had them, but I see them in the convenience store and stuff.
What, next time we do this podcast, you know, bring
we'll
it back.
Sample on air.
Bring it back, yeah.
You know, I believe they do have some pretty cool flavors, kind of, you know, that'll light your fire a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, those type of things. So I might need to try them sometime.
Ryan, big win for the Georgia Bulldogs men's basketball team yesterday.
Was it?
Hey, any win is a big win now. That's they're 5-6. They beat Western Carolina. They were down with under like 8 minutes to go.
And Tom Crean got mayo dumped on him after.
No, I don't think that happened. There was no sponsor of this game. But, I mean, it's not a great look. I mean, Western Carolina, I think they're like 280 or something in KenPom. But better than a 13-point home loss to George Mason, which happened on Saturday. This is a three games in 5-day deal for Georgia. East Tennessee State comes to town Wednesday. So that will be a tougher game. Then they got one more game. I think it's Gardner Webb next week before SEC play cranks up. Noah Bauman and Dalen Original are now playing the four position for Georgia as Jalen Ingram was lost with a knee injury. The guys are playing pretty decent, but, you know, Jalen Ingram's a big cog. Ryan, I know that you're always an optimist. Tell me how Georgia's going to do better than you think in the next few months.
All right. Well, they're not. Here's the thing. I remember back in, you know, the time of the Jim Herrick sanctions and all that Georgia got beat by East Tennessee State. I remember this because a mutual family friend who went to East Tennessee State, you know, reached out to text me with the with the phrase "get bucked up" because apparently they're the Bucks and that must be what they say around there. But that was during a time where Georgia, you know, could and wouldn't surprise you to lose to East Tennessee State when they were going through all those sanctions and everything else. They should not be doing this under Tom Crean, and nothing they've shown me, aside from the Memphis win, which is kind of a fluke after you look at what happened to Memphis in a couple games after that. Makes you feel positive about the way this program's going, and the last two games definitely are in that category as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You lost PJ Horn. You lost.
But I mean, we can't blame all this on injuries.
No. You lost Jalen Ingram. What I'm saying is that you already lost, you know, your top six players from last year, and you really can't. You don't have much room for error with the guys that you do have on your roster. So, I mean, it looks kind of, we'll talk about it more, I'm sure, closer to the beginning of the SEC, but, you know, it looks like a 3-15 type season. I mean, you're going to get a couple of wins here or there.
Are they? I mean, I guess, like you said, you can beat a Memphis type of, you know, have that type of game and win something like that, but it's just it's sad right now. It really is for Georgia basketball and with the way that, you know, teams or kids have come in and left and you know, you're having to reshape your program, you know, your top 10 players every year. That's just not a recipe for winning. And I know you can argue that a lot of teams are doing that, but they're also holding on to more players than Tom Crean is right now.
Well, the good news is Spike apparently is back at Stegman.
I did see that.
Is that good news, though? I don't know.
No, I got a Spike story, too. But I'll share that in another
time.
Yeah,
let's save it. All right, hey, on the flip side, women's basketball won at NC State last week. Number two team in the country, and they've had a couple of easy games since then. South Alabama was a win today, and they beat somebody else.
St. Francis.
0-10, I believe now, St. Francis. All right, more importantly, let's move on and make our picks.
Mm-hmm.
Got some bowl games. Ryan, I went 5-4 last week. I think you had like less than 9. You had 7 or something, didn't you?
No, after looking at my sheet now, I do believe I went 1-8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, I was 1-8.
The good thing, Ryan, is that there's bowl games every day between now and Valentine's Day.
I'm glad I didn't. Yeah, no, I'm glad I didn't enter like the ESPN competition, mm-hmm. or I'd be.
Really all right, sad. As we continue the season numbers, I'm 104 and 101 against the spread, and I believe Ryan will be taking me to a delicious steakhouse burger, probably after February sunny day. I'm saying.
Well, I'm challenging the numbers.
All right, we'll go back. The good thing is it's always there. It's archived on the podcast. When you go back to listen to those, please give us a 5-star review, Ryan. You could just say what a great job you do.
Yeah.
And you could find our podcast at Apple Podcasts and anywhere.
Spotify.
Is it anywhere you find your podcast?
You know, I don't know. I'm still trying to get to the bottom of that. I do know Spotify and Apple are like the two main places to find us.
All right, Ryan, let's see. I'm looking at which games. Initially, we were going to record this podcast yesterday. I think actually, as we speak, there's been a kickoff of the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Uh-huh. I have not looked at the score, so it's not going to influence my pick. And these are games that I really don't know much about, a lot of these teams, so I'm just going to kind of guess, okay?
Okay.
Which isn't far away from what I usually do.
So let's get this straight. Last night was that Coastal Carolina Teal Turf, and today is the famous Idaho Blue Turf, correct? Smurf Turf.
Yeah, Boise, Idaho. It's Kent State and Wyoming.
Your eyes might be hurting after this one.
Wyoming favored by 3.5. I'm taking Kent State.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do the opposite of what I did last week and go against my initial thoughts. So Kent State.
All right, Frisco Bowl in Frisco, Texas. Don't know where that is. Have not been there. I think that's where they play maybe like an FCS championship or something.
Okay, I was going to ask if it was because I know North Dakota State is playing.
That'll be tonight.
Yeah.
As we record this on Tuesday, it's San Diego State and UTSA. Actually, a very interesting game, but I might be watching the Washington football team. I can't remember who they're playing, but
the Eagles, correct?
I don't. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, that's good news for Jake Fromm because he's going to be playing the Eagles only on 5 days rest, I guess, for the Eagles. So might have a tired secondary he throws up against.
Is it confirmed that he's starting?
No.
I do know.
I mean, it might be. I just had.
I do know Daniel Jones out for the year. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know that. San Diego State by 2.5. Ryan, make your pick.
San Diego State.
Nope. Give me UTSA.
All righty.
Tomorrow, it's the Armed Forces Bowl. It's Missouri and Army in Fort Worth, Texas. Army by 3.5.
Oh, yeah. Give me.
I am taking Army.
Give me the soldiers all day long.
Tyler Beatty, star running back, opted out, or actually, from what the head coach of Missouri,
Eli Drinkwitz.
Drinkwitz said, is that the team decided, or the coaches decided, that it would be in his best interest not to play, protecting him, probably from a pro thing. I don't know exactly how that played out, but hey, didn't we just talk about, wait a second, are there two games in the same stadium? I don't know about this. It's the Frisco Football Classic on Thursday.
Yeah, that's the, maybe not.
This is a different game, though. It's Miami, Ohio, and North Texas, and it is Miami by 2.5. Ryan, what are you doing?
North Texas, since the game's in Texas.
Nope, I'm taking Miami. All right, it's the Gasparilla Bowl Thursday, Florida and UCF at Tampa, Raymond James Stadium, Gators by 6.5. Ryan, I am taking Florida.
UCF in that one, and can you look up what a Gasparilla is?
No, but, you know, Christian Robinson, I believe that might be his swan song as a Gator assistant coach.
Yeah.
So I will go with him because he's a guy that we covered and good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas Eve, Ryan, it'll be the Hawaii Bowl. It's Memphis and Hawaii in Honolulu. It's Memphis by 8.5. And what is your pick?
I mean, Hawaii in Hawaii. Why not?
Nope. Give me the Tigers. All right. Christmas Day, there's a game. It's the Camellia Bowl. Ball State and Georgia State in Montgomery, Alabama.
Yeah, what's the line on that?
Georgia State by 4.5. I'm going to take Georgia State.
Hey. Yeah, me too.
All right, and we'll go with some games on Monday. When are we recording our next podcast?
I mean, it's going to have to be from Miami if we do it.
Well, no, we're doing it. Okay. We got these listeners here that want to hear.
It's going to have to be maybe
next. Why don't you call me Tuesday? Well, before you fly. You're flying Wednesday,
No,
right?
No. I got too much to do. I got to see other family for Christmas.
Well, Christmas is over by the 28th. Or whatever.
All right.
Monday the 27th, it's the Quick Lane Bowl. It's Western Michigan and Nevada. Western Michigan by 5.5.
Nevada.
I'm taking Western Michigan, close to home in Detroit. The Military Bowl also that night, or that day, I guess. It's East Carolina and Boston College at Navy Marine Corps Stadium in Annapolis.
Mm. What's the line?
East Carolina getting 2.5.
Give me East Carolina.
That's a good choice. I'll take the Pirates as well. And then last games we're going to pick today. Oh, my gosh. There's tons of games on this Tuesday, a week from today on the 28th. It's the Birmingham Bowl, Houston and Auburn in Birmingham.
Oh, yeah. Give me Auburn.
I'm taking Auburn. Wait a second. I didn't even tell you the spread. Auburn by 2.5. I'm taking Houston.
Nope. Auburn.
All right. And First Responder Bowl, Air Force, Louisville in Dallas. Louisville by 1.5. I'm taking Louisville.
Air Force.
The Liberty Bowl. It's Texas Tech and Mississippi State in Memphis, a game that I covered in 2016. Trenton Thompson is not suiting up for either team, but I always remember his post game. He had like two or three trophies that he got, or you know, he had like the championship trophy. He had his defensive MVP. Maybe they gave him one for being the overall MVP, but he was a happy dude.
Mm-hmm. And set sail for the NFL.
Mississippi State by 10.5. I'm taking the Cowbells close to home.
Who are they playing again?
Texas Tech.
Give me TTU.
All right, two more games. The Holiday Bowl, it's NC State and UCLA in Petco Park in San Diego. NC State by 1.5.
Oh, yeah. That's always a fun game out there. I've always liked that game. Give me NC State.
Taking UCLA with a home state advantage. And last, it's Minnesota and West Virginia in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl in Phoenix, Arizona.
I need a line.
Minnesota by 3.5.
I kind of like Minnesota. I don't like their coach, but I like Minnesota. I think because of the show Coach, you know, they kind of use Minnesota State or Minnesota's colors for Minnesota State. So give me Minnesota.
All right. I'm going to take the Gophers as well. Row the boat, as they say.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate it.
Hey, hopefully we will do a podcast next week from Miami. Actually, probably Fort Lauderdale is where we're going to be. Ryan will work on the mechanics of that, as he is the technological whiz for the podcast. And everyone have a very Merry Christmas. Enjoy the weekend, and get ready for a big Orange Bowl next week, Georgia, Michigan, and we'll talk about it next week down in South Florida.
Ooh, see you there.